Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome our Mufti Muhammad Akhoursab Damat Barakatuhu. Alhamdulillah, the date today is the 26th of Muharram 1446, and in other areas, 80% of the world, it is the 27th of Muharram 1446. Mufti Sahab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته مولانا كيف وكيف حالكم؟
الحمد أيوة. لله الحمد لله all well مولانا صاحب مفتي صاحب how's everything on your side؟
oh الحمد لله we just have to make more and more شكر to Allah سبحانه وتعالى it's so amazing Allah has blessed us with this special gift of the اجتماع and every time we just come to the ميدان and see the environment you just wish that Allah can give us اجتماع every year the way our people are getting together People from all walks of life, people of all nationalities, everyone wanting to do for Allah's pleasure, people wanting to sacrifice for Allah's deen, people want to sit for programs, people want to go onto the Maidan and do anything. You know, there's brothers who come here, Haji Abdul Rahman and his team, under Haji Abdul Samad Saab, they come weeks before the Ijtima, and they work tirelessly, and there's departments to do different things. And anyone who wants to come onto site to do something must, you know, report to head office. And then they'll give him a certain chore. If he got a team, okay, take your team, do this chore under this certain supervisor. And everyone has an opportunity. And you just see things getting done. And we were looking at the Darul Uloom fields yesterday. Allahu Akbar. I was standing with Mawlana Akram Saab. Subhanallah. The field has become huge. And Mawlana is actually saying that, you know what, Allah has expanded this field because at one stage, they said the Ijtima can't be here because it's too small. But everything is fitting in and the property and the fields are so huge and there's so much of extra space. It's just definitely, most certainly, the help and the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And meeting people, making salam to them, greeting them, making them feel comfortable. Alhamdulillah, what opportunities Allah gives through the ijtima' to bring alive so many beautiful sunan of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what can I say, Mawlana? I just have to make more and more shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has allowed us to be in this beautiful environment. And I would implore every person, wherever the ijtima's take place near us, be part and parcel, make khidmah. You know, it's so amazing. There's doctors, there's lawyers, there's physicians, there's specialists, there's entrepreneurs who have put aside everything else just to be there. It's so amazing. People want to be used for Allah's deen. Allah Ta'ala make this a means of their acceptance and their progeny's acceptance. The last time the Ijtima was in Newcastle was 12 years ago, but in Darul Uloom, the last time it was many years ago, decades ago, 75. Because in the early days, Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sima Rahmatullah Alayhi's Barakat and his ta'alluq with the elders of India and the fact that he met Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayhi, you know, that had such a great impact that in the early days, and Allah Ta'ala took this great work from Hazrat Baipadia Rahmatullah Alayhi, who made this great amazing fikr and it reached the people. But in the early days also, many of the jamaats used to come straight to Washbank to meet Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmat, Mawlana Sima Rahmatullah Alayhi due to his nisbat with Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah. So, Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us to be in this khidmah. And it's just too beautiful, Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Yesterday, Mufti Saab was listening to this clip. I'm sure Mufti Saab received it. It was about Mawlana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Alayhi speaking about Haji Baipadia. Rahmatullah alayhi. Did Mufti Saab hear it?
Ji, when you were sending it to me again, I re-hear it, alhamdulillah. And I shared it with our brothers here.
In there he says...
Amazing, Karguzari. Ji, talk to us, Mulana. You were saying...
He says in there that in 1962, Mulana Yunus Patel, rahmatullah alayhi, that we went to different areas. And... but there was no real response from the people. But Haji Saab would just continue. And he says this 2 hours... in the middle of the night, crying to Allah Azza wa Jal for guidance of people. This was continuous. It just continued and continued. But when he said Newcastle, and then I was thinking about the Ijtima and how this has such a deep history, going back to 30 years or 40 years before I was born also. And this fikr takes place. And now when you look at Islam here in South Africa, we were speaking to a person in, I think it was Dubai, and different areas, we get the same report back. That, but more so when it comes to these Arab countries, they say that our, because we've got a friend there also, so he says from the top to the bottom, you've got Muslims. From the CEO to the cleaner, the one who is mopping the floors, they're all Muslims. But comes Muharram, you don't even know it's Muharram. He says only for Ramadan and maybe Bakri Eid, like this year, then you'll know. But generally, Muharram, 10th, 9th, there's nothing of that nature. He says we rely on South Africa to see what's happening, what's the Islamic perspective on this, this, this. Yet, that is a Muslim country. So, and then Mulana Yunus Patel, rahmatullahi alayhi, gives a beautiful example. He says those tears is actually what planted the seeds. And now we're seeing it grow. These are, this is a tree. And next week or the following week, when is it? Next weekend.
Yeah, this next week. It's basically 6 days, mashallah.
We'll see this. Countdown, mashallah. The tree of Newcastle, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. And from there, Allah will take the deen and the effort of deen to the four corners of the world. Alhamdulillah. There was a friend of mine years ago. He was visiting Maulana Akusab, our principal, and he from Makkah Mukarrama, and he got to know our principal one day when he met him in Makkah, and Maulana was staying far. Maulana Akusab normally stays in Aziziyah. So this Arab brother, Sheikh Abdullah, a friend of ours, he was amazed that he was in charge of the shuttle service of one of the hotels. So Maulana Akusab came to him and asked permission that we're staying in the other hotel, and are we allowed to get onto your shuttle? And how much will it be? So he mentioned to me, he says this had an impact on him, that because of Deen, this man, who I don't even know, came to ask my permission. Otherwise, if he had, his hotel is right next to ours, if he just entered the shuttle, no one would have stopped him. But he asked. So that's how they became friends, alhamdulillah. And then the next time we went to Makkah Mukarramah, he came to me and he asked me, come, let's go for some meal together. And in that he asked, because I gave him some da'wah and some tashkil, and he gathered his friends who were Arabs, and few of them happened to be teachers in the university there, in Jami'a Ummul Qura, Makkah Mukarramah. So we had a meal, and he asked me, where should I, what can I do for you? Can we make a trip to Taif? I said, that will be lovely. Our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's efforts in Taif, alhamdulillah. I said, well, I would like to send you that little research on Taif, inshallah, and if you get a chance, you can play it sometime. A nice discussion on how the people of Taif finally came into Deen. But anyway, in this, they took us to Taif, and they had a program for me with these scholars. And in the discussion was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's seerah and a Kar Guzari, a report back of South Africa. And these Arab scholars were quite amazed. And they said, you know, we want to see this. I said to them that the Ijtima is the perfect time for you all to come. Because that Sheikh Abdullah then happened to come thereafter, before this next meeting. He came to South Africa and he visited us here in Darul Uloom. And at that time, we were having the Ladysmith Ijtima some years ago. And he was so amazed. He said, I've never felt like this anywhere. So when I was talking to him and his friends about the Ijtima of South Africa, he backed it and said, yes, this feeling and in the environs of the Ijtima is phenomenal. So all of them said, we're ready. And we were having the Joburg Ijtima. And alhamdulillah, the brothers were so accommodating, alhamdulillah, from the Markaz. So the day or two before the Ijtima, I picked them up from the airport. Now they came thinking it's South Africa. So they came in top and pants, not realizing that, you know, the environment of Deen here. So anyway, we learn in Tabligh, don't condemn a person immediately. Work on him. Let him see for himself. And then when I brought them into the environment of Ijtima, they were so amazed. Alhamdulillah. Then we took them out in Allah's way. And this is the beauty of this work. A person will change as he comes out. But as soon as we see him and we try and, you know, attack him, he might just run away from us. So there's an amazing Kar Guzari of Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali al-Nadawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, who said that once there was an attendee who would frequently attend his tafsir classes with fervor, enthusiasm, and punctuality. He was a local businessman in Lucknow, and after Fajr, Hazrat's tafsir dars would be attended by many, including this local businessman. For many years he sat And then it happened that at some time, this businessman was absent for a few days. So when he returned, the Hazrat asked him, that, "By Sahab, sir, what happened to you? Where are you? I haven't seen you a couple of days." So he said, "Hazrat, tabligh wale ne mujhe pakar liya. The brothers in Jamaat, Hazrat, they caught me. And I went for a few days." Hazrat went silent, and his eyes then welled with tears, and he became emotional. So he said, "Hazrat, kya hua? What happened?" He says, "I'm not saying you didn't take effect from my dars. You're sitting here for so many years. But I'm so amazed at the effect Allah has placed in this work. Yes, your heart condition definitely changes. You sat in this dars every day and so forth and so forth. But you went for a few days. And in this few days, I can see this transformation in you. That your dressing has changed. I see you haven't touched your face. And I can see the hair is growing." You know, as it was... And he was amazed at the effect that Allah has placed in this Mubarak work. So I saw that with those Arab scholars there, alhamdulillah. Mm. And this is the effect of the environment, the impact of environment, alhamdulillah. And this is what the Ijtima is about, to remind us, take us back centuries prior in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May these beautiful Nurani A'mal were alive. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And daily, alhamdulillah. Just now one of the ulama were mentioning that we need to speak to business people who would also be in istiqbal. And look at how they consider everything. Why an ulama to be in istiqbal? So when the brothers come from far and wide, welcome them with a smile. Welcome them with ikram. What they were saying is, don't just put students there. That, no, every taqaza is important. We can have students with us, but business people to be there, ulama kiram to be there. And as people come, how people would take effect, that as business people, we would recognize them as they arrive in their vehicles or on the buses. And they would recognize certain business people and so forth. And then their hearts would become so elated that, mashallah, and we welcome them with a smile, never with a frown and harshness, but kindness and character. Alhamdulillah. So the same thing happened with those scholars, and they loved the system of ta'lim and tabligh in South Africa. They spent some time in Jamaat with us thereafter. Alhamdulillah.
Mufti Sahab,
Allah Ta'ala accept, alhamdulillah.
Mufti Sahab,
can I go on to that, the historical discussion?
Just before we go on, I just want to say, Mufti Saab, of course, knows Mufti Alauddin, rahmatullah alayhi, passed away.
Allahu Akbar, our Ustaz, rahimahullah, Allahu Akbar. Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. We'll never forget him. I remember stopping, you know, just to greet him every now and again. And he, and once I asked him, Hazrat, in Medina Munawwara, you taught for so many years. Tell me about Hazrat Malana Saeed Ahmad Khan, rahmatullah alayhi. He said, "Oh, that man." He says, The qafila of Sahaba were going by. And one man reh gaya. And he was that man. That was how Hazrat Mufti Alauddin Sahib rahmatullah alayhi expressed Allah. And described Hazrat Maulana Saeed Ahmad Khan rahmatullah alayhi. There was another alim here a week or two ago. And so beautiful was his kaguzar. He's an alim from Bangladesh, Mufti Yaqub Sahib. And he was telling us how he went in 95 as a student of Deoband, being from Bangladesh. He went to meet Hazrat Maulana Saeed Ahmad Khan rahmatullahi to ask him few questions. And sometime I will share that, Ajib. But tell us what you were saying, Hazrat Maaf, I cut you. I was just happy when you mentioned Hazrat Mufti Alauddin Sahib rahmatullahi. I'll never forget when he was giving the Dawratul Hadith, and he invited me as well to have the meal of that sarid. Alhamdulillah, I had two dawahs of sarid, 1 year and the next year. Alhamdulillah, it was so nice to give us
that was a standard practice.
Sarid mentioned in the sunnah.
That was a standard practice.
Once
I went there and I saw him, Mufti Sahib was drawing a masjid and just scribbling and drawing. And I said, "He was finished with it." And I said, can I get this? Yeah. So he said, "Yeah, you can take it." And Allah. Then I found out in his free time, he just loved to draw masajid. So one day I went to him, and especially in the initial years, so my family got along well with his family, his children and daughters and that. So I used to go there, and one day I said, "You know, I'm facing difficulty, challenges, like with because of the modern background, the influence in schools and all of this here. So now when you sing parda, you sing this, and you sing it in hadith and that, but it becomes sometimes challenging. How do you respond to this? So he looked at me, and you know, Mufti Saab would have this, he'll give you straightforward answers, but in there, there's so much of wisdom and hikmah. So he said to me, you think that I was always pious and I just was always in kurta and all of this? He was like shocked. He said, you're saying this, but you think I was always like this? He said, I was just in school. I used to wear the school uniform. And then we were here at this one place, and this pious elder of Tabligh, he came to me and he only said these words. He only said, this life is not for you. He says, Allah. Then I went for 3 days. After that, I never ever returned back to that life.
La ilaha illallah. La ilaha.
So
amazing.
It's just then afterwards, it made me feel like, okay, these challenges, it's normal. You're going to go through it. Every person goes through it. But the response. And then the other thing, Mufti Saab, I see time is up. So, I mean, in terms of, I wanted to discuss about Hafidh Ismail Haniya, rahmatullah alayhi, and that recitation. Allah. But let's go on with what Mufti Saab prepared, inshallah.
Jazakallah. Allah give Hafidh Ismail Saab, rahmatullah alayhi, Jannatul Firdaus, and a man who reached his goal and purpose. This was his ambition. His children went before him, and how he endeavored and endured and tolerated and continued, Allahu Akbar. And if we study, when we study the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that was the ultimate goal, to go in that beautiful manner. For a believer, that's the greatest way to go. For Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum, actually, for them it was a shame to die at home. For them it was a shame to die at home. So when we see these people, we actually remember our purpose and goal. That was the ambition of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Sahaba were mourning for a man in Sahih Bukhari who passed away at home. لَكِنَّ الْبَائِسَ سَعْدُ بْنُ خَوْلَهُ. They were feeling sorry for him radiallahu anhum, that, oh, he passed away at home. It wasn't they looking down upon him. It's just they felt sorry for him. Today, we look at it the other way around. A person passes away at home, it's normal. A person goes in Allah's way, it seems, oh, no, that's not right, shame, and so forth. But actually, that is the ultimate purpose and goal. Look at that Sahabi, Hazrat Abdullah bin Hudhafa al-Sahmi, radiallahu anhu, as the Roman emperor was interrogating him and questioned him and asked him, Allahu Akbar, he said to him, become a Christian, forsake your deen, and you know what I'll give you? He says, I'll give you nisfa mulki, half my entire kingdom. This is the Roman emperor, the one of the superpowers of the dem day. Look at the response of the Sahabi. He says, you know what, Mr. King? If you had to grant me and hand over to me your entire kingdom, لو أعطيتني جميع ما تملك وجميع ما ملكته العرب على أن أترك ديني على أن أرتد عن ديني طرفة عين ما فعلته. If you were to hand over your entire kingdom and portfolio and your... the entire Arabian region also, not only your kingdom, the entire Arabia with your kingdom, for me to denounce my deen for a second, for a split second, for a blink of an eyelid. So one meaning of this is, for me to denounce it for a blink of an eyelid and come back, I would not be prepared to do it. Or it means not at all, and that's an emphatic remark. I would not be able to do that no matter what. I'll never forsake my deen, because a believer is always conscious of the fact that we're going to leave everything of this world. Everything of value, we have to leave it behind. Our deen and iman and amal and Quran and the sunnah mubarakah and the dawah in Allah Azza wa Jal, that is going to come with us. So our deen will come with us. The sahabi says, you can give me all of that. I will never forsake my deen. طَرْفَةَ عَيْدٍ مَا فَعَلْتُ. The king was so impressed. But then he was affected by the fervor and the enthusiasm and the firmness of the Sahabi upon his deen. But then he wanted to kill the Sahabi, or he wanted to test him. So he called his men. A pot was brought, huge deg, cauldron, and oil was poured in, and it was set alight to boiling levels, and it was sizzling, and it was boiling. Two of the Sahaba captives, others, were taken and thrown in that pot. Probably they were tabi'een. Their names are not mentioned in this report. And they thrown in and they died right there. They were disintegrated. And all of this was to instill fear into this great Sahabi of Janabi Rasulullah. Now this Sahabi is escorted. Prior to that, as he was escorted there, there's another incident where he was being shot at. He was hung and he was being shot at.
This is Khunais ibn Hudhafah radiallahu anhu.
Now, this is Abdullah bin Hudhafah radiallahu anhu, Khunais bin Hudhafah's brother. Hazrat Khunais bin Hudhafah passed away early in the Medinan stage. And this event is his brother's event. It's happening during the Khilafah of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So Hazrat Khunais bin Hudhafah radiallahu anhu passed away and he left behind Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu anha, and after her iddat, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wedded her. But Hazrat Abdullah bin Hudhafa is the brother of Hazrat Khunais bin Hudhafa. Something else very interesting about Abdullah bin Hudhafa, that's why subhanallah, deen and our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that nobody will be, if not every person will be exactly the same. Every person has good qualities. Appreciate the good in them. Like this Sahabi Abdullah bin Hudhafa, look at his firm iman. But it's famous about him, he was quite humorous. He would actually make people laugh. He would make them happy. So in life, we get those kinds of people also. Appreciate them. Somebody else will get who's more strict, who's more, you know, he has a different kind of demeanor. We get all kinds of people. All five fingers, all can't be the same. Each one has its own capability and, you know, duty and so forth. So same here, this great Sahabi. So that was Hazrat Khunais. Hazrat Abdullah bin Hudhafa is now, after he was shot at, but the king told his marksman not to shoot him, just instill fear into him. The king wanted to actually analyze how far can he go with the Sahaba Kiram to get them to forsake their deen. He wanted to see what is the iman of the believer, what is the iman of the mu'min. Afterwards, the Sahabi is brought down and he's escorted to the spot. And he's about to be flung into this boiling oil. And the Sahabi starts to tear. The soldiers escorting him, dragging him, pulling him. It's for Sahaba, that was their purpose. That was their purpose. Realizes this Sahabi is sobbing, sincerely sobbing, crying. So he says to the king that this man is now prepared to give in. So he's now escorted before the king again, the Roman Emperor. He says, what is it? Why are you sobbing? Are you prepared to accept my offer? He said, never. Then why do you, you know, become despondent and lose hope and cry like that? He said, no, my reason for crying is different. He says, what is your reason for becoming so emotional? He says, I am going to be thrown in this pot now with Allah's will. And that could be my one life for Allah. And now to give one life for my Allah is too little. كنت أتمنى أن يكون لي بعدد شعري بدني أنفس تلقى كلها في الله. This is my wish and aspiration was that Allah, you are so great, you are so powerful, you are so mighty, you are so merciful. You deserve much more. Me, small banda of yours, to give one life for you is too little, Allah. I wanted lives equivalent to the hair strands on my body. And I wanted my one life, one Allah after the other, to be lined up and everyone be given in Allah's name, be given for Allah's sake. So these people who gave their life for Allah, that was their goal and purpose. What an honorable, subhanallah. And subhanallah, what we learn is the deception that of those who swear and disrespect Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum. And this takes us down the annals of history. When we study our history, that's why tariq is such a pivotal subject as Muslims. Let's study from the beginning. Ibn Sabah was, he was manufactured by the Jewish community. And they planted him among the Muslims to destroy Islam from within. And look at the fitnas he caused and so forth and so forth. And then we see after that throughout the annals of history, whenever someone stood up firm for Sunnah, whenever someone stood up for Haqq, it was always them in different forms with different titles. They were called Ismailis, they were called Shi'as, Rawafid, and different titles, but coming from the same source where they disrespect and discard and reject the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Let's take one or two examples. For example, the first is when the Crusaders came marching towards Muslim lands. The Shia were ruling Egypt at the time, sadly. And that's why one of the people I was supposed to mention today, maybe I'll just mention his name, but inshallah, Allah will help us link the discussion. So when they marched towards Muslim lands and they decimated and desecrated many of the Muslim lands, this is late 5th century, so 490 Hijri. Add 600 years, we'll get an approximate lunar calendar, right? Solar calendar, approximate solar date at 600 years. Anyway, when they came and they harmed Muslims and they actually put Muslim children into spit and burnt them, and what torture, brutality against Muslim women, what terror. And they were applauded by this regime of Egypt, the Fatimites. And the Fatimites told them that you're not welcome to come. Later on, the Fatimites realized a bit, but they were in cahoots with the Crusaders and the Jewish community throughout history, to such an extent that there was one great scholar, Abu Ishaq al-Harawi, rahimahullah ta'ala. Abu Ishaq al-Harawi, he then saw what happened to Palestine, Masjid al-Aqsa, in the late 400s. And he then left his city and went to Baghdad to speak to the Khalifa that this is what's going on. And to draw the attention of the Ummah, he actually ate bread on the Friday to draw everyone's attention. Otherwise, people were taking this lightly. And then the Khalifa gave him a meeting and so forth and so forth. Then there was, so it started with this great alim. He was a great Hanafi scholar, Abu Ishaq al-Harawi, from the region of Afghanistan, Herat. And then, subhanAllah, thereafter, there was great people to stand up for the truth. And the first men who went against the Crusaders to protect Palestine, they actually accomplished and they won. And the Amir of the Muslims at the time actually then performed Jumu'ah Salah in Damascus. And as he was coming out from Jumu'ah, there was a man who pretended to be a beggar. And he came forward in a garb. And this Muslim ruler, the commander of that army, was taking out something to give him. And in that, whilst he caught him unawares, that person wasn't a beggar. He was an assassin affiliated to this Fatimites. And he assassinated this Muslim commander who won the battle going to liberate Palestine. So whenever someone stood up for truth, it was always the Sahaba haters to stop the people of Sunnah. You know, and so forth. And this carried on for many, many years. Finally, Allah Ta'ala took this great work from Salahuddin Ayyubi, rahimahullah ta'ala, who then removed this regime from Egypt. And he then became the ruler of Egypt. But years after Salahuddin was a man who I was supposed to mention today, whose name is Zahir Baybars, rahimahullah ta'ala, who passed away in the year 676 Hijri, 676 Hijri, in this month of Muharram, 676 Hijri. And subhanAllah, he then, Allah, it was a Thursday, 27th of Muharram, 676 Hijri, and it was 1277 June. He was the ruler of Egypt and Sham. And there's an amazing history about him, how he ended off the Mughals, like Salahuddin, rahimahullah, ended off the Shiism in Egypt. He ended off the Mughals in that region, and he brought many of them to Islam. And alhamdulillah, many of the institutes established by the haters of Sahaba radiallahu anhum in Egypt were stopped by Salahuddin, but now Zahir Baybars brought it alive for teaching Sunnah and Deen and Haqq and the four Madahib. So he's another great person, alhamdulillah. But what we've seen, exactly how it happened, Allahu Akbar, this is that dubious, dirty dagger to destroy the Ummah from within. But this is Allah Ta'ala's system. This is Allah's deen. Deen will never die. Allah will protect his deen. Allah will, you know, one goes, there's many, many others
Allah.
Who Allah will give tawfiq to stand up for truth and to stand up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, save our iman and give us tawfiq to stand firm for his deen. And Allah give us tawfiq to stand firm for haqq. And Allah accept us, even though we don't deserve, we beseech of our Allah, that Allah accept us through thy grace and mercy and deprive us not due to our weaknesses and iniquities and wrongs and many, many faults. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakallah for the opportunity.
Jazakumullah khairan. Mufti Saab, our honorable teacher, both of our teachers, and that is Mufti Ridaul Haq Saab, Damat Barakatuh.
Allah.
He says always, رَجُلٌ ذُو هِمَّةٌ يُحْيِي بِهِ اللَّهُ الْأُمَّةِ. A
Allah.
Man full of himmah, he will rise a nation, he will revive
Allah.
A nation, inshallah. So, with this motivational speech and talk, inshallah, somewhere along the line, people will wake up. In another statement also, Mufti Saab was speaking about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and how these attacks, just one statement that Mufti AK Saab sent now, on the first day of its new president, Iran presents the head of Ismail Haniyeh, as a precious gift to Israel on the first day of its president. But, alhamdulillah, we know that is in death is life. So, may Allah make us amongst those, inshallah, who wish, desire for martyrdom. Make dua for us, Mufti Saab. We really enjoyed your program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.